I woke up this morning a little bit late. For some odd reason, I fell back asleep. I woke up early, but I had a dream. So God has his plan to talk to us even when we're sleeping and we're dreaming. Yeah? So in my dream, I shared it with Irene this morning. We were in a building, but it wasn't a normal building. The only thing it can remind me of is a tobacco barn. It was like barn boards on both sides, like nothing decorative. It was a church. It had a pointed roof. And this was the part that was wild. On the roof, I don't know if you've ever been in a tobacco barn, but they have like these flaps that go up. And there's like, I don't know, some kind of a board or post that you adjust it and you can open it up to different degrees. Okay? It was not what you could call bright inside. It was on the somber side. But it was raining. I mean pouring. Sheets. And every time the wind would blow and the wind would just blow that water right through those holes at the top of the roof. And both of us got wet. I can't tell you how many times because I don't know. I don't remember. But I knew that it was just incredible. It was not normal rain. It was this incredible rain. And my wife is saying, oh, this is disgusting. And I'm saying, you know, cool it, girl. It's going to be okay, you know, because we kind of got to ride this out. Well, I wrote it down just as I remembered it. And then, of course, those of you who know that, you know, I go onto the website. And this is what happened on April 13th, because the only thing I could think of is the latter rain. You know, when it comes, it's going to come with unbelievable amount of water. And it's going to pour into the building. And I kept remembering one thing that happened many years ago at the Feast of Tabernacles when the Levites came. And the water was absolutely unbelievable. It was pouring outside. And we had no holes in the roof at that time. We were in the main sanctuary, and I can remember standing in front of the altar, and I had the lady with the keyboard behind me, and the water was literally dripping on both of us. And she kept worrying that it was the roof that was leaking because the keyboard was in full operation. We were in the middle of worship, and the water was just coming right down. And there were no holes in the ceiling. There was no spots. And I kept looking up. And of course, every time I looked up, I got some more water in my face. And it was coming from the Lord. Nashville, Tennessee, April 13th, 2012. There shall be an acceleration. These are the words from Kim Clement. And hear what the Spirit says tonight. What you are entering, and it started in the month of February, you will smell it. You will taste it. You will feel it. The time has come for the outpouring of the latter rain. The time has come for the double portion. The time has come for an outpouring the earth has never experienced ever. And before they say, we will take all the nations of the world and we will make one nation and one world, I will bring such an outpouring of my Spirit that men shall leap. They shall run as Elisha ran with an acceleration. There shall be an acceleration of miracles, accelerations of understanding, accelerations of knowledge that shall travel to and fro across the face of the earth. Young men shall rise up, and they will do what Joel told them to do, that they would do. They will prophesy. They will have visions. Your children shall know that this is that time, says the Lord. look to the month of May, and then look to the month of October, and then look, says the Lord. You will enter in and say, what has happened to the tyrants? What has happened to them in North Korea? What has happened to those who have said, we will raise up a generation of people that will not pronounce the name of God properly. God says, they shall pronounce my name, every one of them. Jireh, they shall say Shalom. They shall say every name. They shall say Nisi. They shall say every name of God. And as they say it, I will pour out my spirit upon the musicians and upon the authors and upon the poets. God said, you are entering it in beyond the veil, says the Lord. And it goes on. Yeah. If you don't think I was excited, you've got news coming. I was excited. Because God confirms his word. So, I said, Lord, what do you want tonight? And he told me to go to Matthew 24. So, let's go for a short little stroll down Holy Ghost Lane, okay? Matthew 24. You can read the whole Matthew 24 on your own, but I'm going to start you at verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the day before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Took who away? The bad guys or the good guys? Who did he take away? The bad guys or the good guys? The bad guys. So what is he going to do again? Going to get rid of the bad guys. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the handmill. One will be taken and the other left. You see, the pattern was set by Noah. What did he do with Noah and his family? He put them in a safe place. Gino used to say, if you're not in the ark and the door closes, what happens? Drown. Yeah, no kidding. When Irene and I were in Branson, Missouri, it'll be 2 years in August, and we went to see the play. It was incredible because the second act showed the ark. And I said to my wife, I says, you know, for some odd reason, we're going to be in the middle of the ark. And she says, well, how can that be? I says, I don't know how it's going to be. But you know, your perceiver is the Holy Ghost. And they had still not opened the curtain more than like the normal stage. And all of a sudden, the second act comes, right? And we see Noah, and they open up the curtain. I would say they opened it up about maybe 25, 30 feet maximum. So you saw four levels. You saw the bottom part of the ark. You saw the second part, or the second level, second story, if you wish. And you could only see a few animals. And it was really their living quarters that you could see. And that the fourth or the third level was their kitchen. And they had a place where they could cook. And the fourth level was the top. And Noah's on top. And he's got this little window open. And you can see the sun is fading. And in the darkness, and the rain is going to start coming. And they're talking. But way at the bottom, to the side, is a door. And there's one of the sons, or I should say Noah's daughter-in-law, one of them, and she's having a conversation, at the door. The door is closed. And her family want to get in. But the door is closed, so they can't get in because they refused. They were laughing all this time. And she says, I can't open. And here you know Noah is talking to God at the top. Could we make an exception or something, right? And the Lord said, I've closed the door. That's it. These that are in are yours. And then the wind starts and the shaking. I don't know how they vibrated the theater, but they did. And the curtains start going back. And of course, you got animals 3-4 stories high all around you. And the curtains go way, way back, way behind you. And you are now in the middle of the ark. And it is raining. Lightning and thunder and you name it. And I mean, the chairs vibrate. That's all I can tell you. It's unreal. It's unbelievable. But all I can say is, in my dream, you know, I kept saying, God, you know, what's up? And so when I read this, you have to remember, it goes back to the Word. Verse 42. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect it. So he's trying to tell you your skinny brain ain't going to figure it out. You got it? Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servant in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth. He will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkenness or drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Scary as it may sound, there's nothing for you to be afraid of. You're in the ark. He's taking care of the details. And you and I can rest. But I'd like to take you just for a moment to Genesis. Chapter 6. It shows you something I believe that we have actually seen a little bit in this generation, and maybe the generation before us saw even a little more. When men began to increase in number on the earth and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. When the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal, and his days will be 120 years. That's your promise. It says the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. All the time, the Lord was grieved that he made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. If you ever wonder what happens right now when God looks around, you've got a picture there. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. One of the first things that was spoken at the altar rail today, or the communion place. I am highly favored. Now, she had no idea what God has showed me today. You're in, girl. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're in. You're highly favored. Just because you don't believe it yet doesn't mean you aren't. God says you are. Hallelujah. Verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. I don't want to go any further. You can check out the rest of it. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you listen to the news, if you listen to the broadcasts, what have you got to see? What are you looking at?
Hopeless.
Yeah. Who do you think God is looking at now? Isn't he looking at the corporate Noah? The corporate body of Christ? What is the only part of the earth right now that God can say they are righteous because of the blood of my son? You are that corporate Noah. You're the corporate anointed one for today. I don't think we would call ourselves Noah, but in reality, we are the body of Christ. We're above what that covenant was. We're above it. Because we're part of the body of Christ. We're more righteous than we can possibly conceive. Because of what Jesus has already done on the cross for us. And yet, the unbelief tries to come in. How many know what I'm talking about? Ah, if you did it all right, then God would love you. I've got news for you. He's not looking for action. He's looking for belief. Actions are wonderful. But it's greater to declare who you are in Christ. It's greater because as you declare it, you're going to get to the point, you're going to believe it. Okay. At some point, you begin to declare these words that Jesus already told you you are. Because the other part that came into me today was John chapter 15, he is the vine and we are the branches. And you know, a branch by itself doesn't work. Okay? Last fall, we had a little bit of a windstorm. And Gabriella picked up some twigs. And she planted them next to her toy box outside. Now, we obviously know that they're still twigs, right? There's no green on them. But her great-grandfather had been asking for a lilac bush and shopped around for some lilac bushes, but believe it or not, what they had available when I went, there was nothing. I mean, nothing that I wanted to spend for. So I said to the Lord, would you provide one, please? Well, guess what? My neighbor has one. But one of the seedlings landed on my land. And it was only about 3 or 4 inches, but it had one little leaf. And I thought, my God, that looks like a lilac one. So I didn't let the lawnmower go over it. And I just kind of preserved it and then took a shovel and put it into a safe place. Well, my lilac bush now is a little over a foot high. It's loaded with green leaves. And so it's right next to Gabby's garden. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that the one that comes from a seed filled with life, connected to the vine, is you. Everywhere you go, you spread nourishment and flavor to everybody you meet. Some will probably find you irritating, but that's okay. To some, you are that big sequoia full of light, and you will definitely get some reactions. Close your eyes. Father, I thank you that this word now will go into their hearts and let them mull it over until they realize that we are living in a day where things are going to be shaken, where reality checks will come on those that we love. As this latter rain comes down, there will some, the latter rain will irritate. Just like the unknown is irritating. So get ready for a little bit of persecution, because that's part of what being a Christian is all about. That latter rain will irritate, but it'll also bring such life into every heart that God will be glorified through you because of his grace to you. In Jesus' name.